Thanks for hanging out with us here on this Wednesday. It's the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, talking sports. Hanging out with you live from the Ok-Chin Community Studios.
I'm actually watching the St. John's DePaul game right now, and they're giving out Mark Jackson bobblehead dolls today.
Oh, I bet you would love to have one of those.
I would love to have a Mark Jackson bobblehead doll from his days at St. John's. I always told you that was my favorite team, college basketball team ever.
I remember that.
It was the team that made it to the Final Four with Walter Berry and Chris Mullin and Bill Wennington and Mark Jackson, and just such a great team.
Sorry, Louis Cardoseca. Sorry,
Louis Cardoseca.
Sorry, you're stuck here with me, and you're not there in the garden getting your Mark Jackson St. John's bobblehead. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, I could be right there getting my Mark Jackson bobblehead.
Yeah.
So they're giving those away.
Said you're stuck here with me doing a radio show. Sorry about that, man.
That's fine.
See if I can get one for you. It's Wednesday, so it's the day that Kyler Murray talks to the media, and he acknowledged what we were all feeling watching that Dallas game. Man, it just felt good to feel good about yourself coming out of that game and getting ready for the playoffs. It's about getting hot at the right time. And as he said today, as Kyler said today, nobody wanted to go into the playoffs playing the way we were during that three-game losing streak.
Yeah, that's the thing that I feel like it's a battle mentally. The energy last Sunday compared to the energy against the Lions, it's not that we weren't prepared or ready. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's something that I wish I knew the answer to. But, it's completely two different teams out there. And I wish I knew the answer to that. But, I definitely feel like, as a team, it's about getting hot at the right time and going into the playoffs. You wouldn't want to go into the playoffs feeling how we felt 3 weeks ago, that's for sure. So, I think that was a good head start for us to win this past Sunday, and hopefully get the job done this weekend. That way we can, feel even better going into the playoffs.
Three times he said, "I don't know. I wish I had the answer." I don't know. I wish I had the answer. I wish I had the. Three times during that conversation, he mentioned that he doesn't know what happened, and he wished he had the answer. And I think at some point in his career, he'll have the answers to that. At some point in his career with more experience, he'll have an answer as to why a team played so poorly when they shouldn't have. Maybe you can avoid it happening because you'll see the signs in practice. Or maybe you'll avoid it happening because you'll see the signs during the game and you'll figure something out. Right now, Cliff being a young coach, Kyler being a young quarterback, they don't know what happened and they don't have the answers to what happened. But I do think that at some point in both of their careers, there will be times when they do have the answers for those.
Yeah, or there'll be times when you understand, okay, I love playing in Dallas. I love walking into that stadium. How do you replicate that when you're not walking into Dallas? How do you replicate that excitement when you're walking into Detroit and they have one win? And you have to manufacture that sort of sense of anticipation that you always get when you walk into Dallas. How do you manufacture that when you're walking into a building where maybe you haven't had that kind of success, or you're playing a team that's wretched and you need to dig a little deeper to find that kind of enthusiasm and excitement to play? I don't know.
Yeah, but you remember before the Detroit game, right? Before the abysmal performance against the Lions, the question is, why is this team not playing so well at home? Why do they turn the ball over so much at home? Why do they lose these games at home? Why are they so good on the road, but they're not good at home? That was the big question. I don't know, have an answer to that. I wish I did. Cliff, why is it that you guys play so well on the road, but you don't replicate it at home? Why is it that you turn the ball over so much at home, but you don't on the road? It was the Lions game that gave us a pause. It was the Lions game that said, wait a second. Okay, that game right there, that's a little bit different than the home and the road thing. This is about how did you lose to the Lions?
Yeah.
They had one win.
Yeah.
That was different than the questions about the home and the road.
But going back to the home and the road question, that's something I feel like hasn't been talked about enough when it comes to the Seattle game coming up. It's a game at home. And they temporarily cured the problem of how they were playing overall, ending the three-game losing streak by winning in Dallas the way they did. They still have not solved the problem of why they don't play well at home. And the last time we saw them in that, they have not won a game in that building since the week before Halloween. Okay. And we're into 2022 and they haven't won a game in that building since the week before Halloween. So if we're, you know, trying to problem solve here, and we all agree that we want the Cardinals to have a home playoff game, them playing well at home would be a hell of a place to start with that, right? Because that's another one of those, you know, you got to figure out why and you got to figure out how. Why have you not played well at home? Well, go beat Seattle at home, play well doing it. Maybe you can kind of take that out of the back of your mind too, because we all want them to be at home when the playoffs start in a couple of weeks.
Maybe there's one thing that I really don't have an answer to, and we'll find out on Sunday, is what is Seattle going to play? Like, what is their motivation to come out and play well? Final game, Russ's final game, and maybe it's Pete's final game, and maybe it's Penny's final game. Like, I just don't know the level of motivation that Seattle has. Like, you can't knock the Cardinals out of the playoffs, so you're not playing the spoiler role. Like, you can't, you know, you can't beat them and they don't make the playoffs.
Right.
They're in, so I don't know the level of motivation Seattle has for that game. Maybe they lay down like dogs. Maybe they play hard. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe they're thinking about tee times. Maybe they're thinking about the jets that they're all going to get on for all the vacations. I don't know what their motivation is either, and I've thought about that a couple of times, wondering, you know, how inspired are they to play in what could literally be the end of an era. And I promise you, over the next couple of days, our guests are going to lean a little bit towards that, because we're going to talk with that athletic writer who covers the Seahawks tomorrow. We're going to talk with Brock Huard on Friday. And I'll be curious what both of those guys have to say about kind of how motivated Seattle might be for this game. Another thing that Kyler Murray talked about today was the interchangeable offensive line. And we saw it with great effect last week against Dallas. Kelvin Beachum just doing an unbelievable job moving from the right side to the left side and playing well. They might have their full offensive line intact this weekend, and that's something that Kyler Murray's very excited about.
Yeah, I just think it's a credit to those guys. You know, all the hard work they put in, continue to put in. You know, to be able to rotate that many guys and still have, you know, the continuity, the relationships, the, you know, the execution. You know, like I said, it's a credit to them. Coach Kuz, the job that they've done. You know, so you know, I've, no matter who's in there, I have, you know, the most confidence in each one of those guys. So to have all of them, you know, playing together now, including me, is I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what it feels like yet, so I mean, we'll see.
You know, the kid, I mean, he could say, and listen, he bought all those guys golf clubs and everything. This is all about Rodney Hudson. I mean, they have a good offensive line. They do. I mean, getting Justin Pugh back is big. Getting DJ's back, DJ Humphrey's back. It's all big. But, man, there is something about how they play when Rodney Hudson's there and how they play without Rodney Hudson. It makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's almost like, you know, you talk about Brewer and Lee and, Prater needs to be able to kick field goals. It's almost like that for Kyler with Hudson. I mean, that security blanket, having that guy there, I think that just changes everything with how Kyler plays.
We talked a lot about that last week when you were on vacation, and I have to scroll through my notes to find it, but I can just tell you right now, there was a story that we talked a lot about, Tim and I, about the stats for Kyler when he has Rodney Hudson and when he doesn't have Rodney Hudson, and not just in wins and losses, but it was sacks and it was pressures and it was completion percentage and quarterback rating, and it was remarkable how essential Rodney Hudson has become to the entire equation. And it doesn't surprise, we know Rodney Hudson's a really good player. And of course, you know, good players are going to make other players better around him. But it was almost shocking to see just how different the numbers overall from a team standpoint and from an individual standpoint for Kyler, how much different the numbers are when Rodney plays versus when Rodney doesn't. He has become almost irreplaceable for them at this point.
How often do you go from having the worst player at a position to the best in anything? Like, it's and here we've had it twice, because I'm not going to say that about Ricky Rubio, but before Ricky Rubio, the Suns' point guards were abysmal. I mean, it was just pathetic. It was embarrassing. It was humiliating. Their point guard play was terrible, and now they've got one of the best point guards that's ever played in the history of the game. The Cardinals had the worst center in football last year. They had literally the worst center in football, and now they've got a guy who's arguably the first or second best center. I mean, usually you don't make that much big of a jump in anything. But for the Suns with the point guard spot and the Cardinals with the center, you know, usually you make a jump three spots, four spots, and so it's unnoticeable. It's unnoticeable when you go from having the 20th best center to the 15th best center, or the 20th best point guard to the 15th best point guard. But when you go from literally the worst – at a position to the best, it becomes very, very noticeable.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, James Jones was with us today talking about the return of guys and health and safety protocols, and we have an update on that that we'll give you after the break. Plus, James on Bismack Biyombo, a future contract for Cam Johnson. We'll talk about all of that coming up next on the Burns and Gambo show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
All right, so the news coming out of the Suns, coming off their win last night against the Pelicans, is that DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder, and JaVale McGee have all cleared health and safety protocols. But they are out of tomorrow's game against the Clippers in what's being called competitive reconditioning. In other words, they got to get in game shape. We don't want to take these guys who have been laying around sick for 10 days and just throw them back out there and say, go play 30 minutes in a basketball game. Abdul Nader is still in protocols. He's got a knee injury anyway. Landry Shamet is still in protocols. So once the conditioning of Ayton, Crowder, and McGee are up to speed, those guys are back. But it doesn't sound like Gambo. In fact, it's not going to happen tomorrow night. And in a way, that's kind of what James Jones told us a little earlier on the show today, that those guys, that the conditioning might be an issue for those players.
Yeah, and it should be, right? I mean, you know, this is a hard sport to play, and you've got to be in great condition. So if you don't play, and, you know, especially with COVID, right? I mean, if your health and safety protocols and you're out, you're probably not, you know, getting on your bike and riding it and going for a run, and you're not doing all of those things. You're just trying to get better. But you're probably not doing anything that's, you know, going to test your lungs or push yourself. So I knew all along that they wanted to ramp these guys back up. I know they were very hopeful because I remember on December 31st, I tweeted out that I'm not expecting any of these guys back until at least the 6th against the Clippers game, just because they wanted to ramp them back up. But that maybe even, you know, that was going to be even past that. So I imagine, I don't know who they play after the Clippers, but that next game, I imagine those guys will be back for that game.
It's the Heat on Saturday, and it's a home game. And then after that, they go back on the road. So maybe by Saturday will be the big homecoming game for,
you know,
everybody.
Big stuff going on in the NBA, right? Dirk's getting his jersey retired tonight.
Yeah.
Dirk Nowitzki, who we couldn't stand when he was with the Mavs. And then Kyrie Irving's making his debut. Kyrie's back for the Nets.
Yeah.
So he's going to make his debut tonight when they take on the Pacers in Indiana.
Yeah, the league always seems to, like, after Christmas and you start getting closer, that's when the league really starts to kind of ramp up in terms of its activity. So it's absolutely, there's a lot of stuff going on in the NBA tonight. No question.
Yeah.
James Jones was on with us earlier, as I mentioned, and we asked him a lot of stuff, a lot of different topics. In particular, there's a few of them here. Bismack Biyombo, let's start there. Can he be on the team past 10 days? Here's what the 10-day contract he's on right now. Here's what James told us.
That's always the hope whenever we add a guy to our group. I mean, we're very intentional with what we do with our roster. I don't think there's a player on this roster who we don't foresee, if they're playing well, being a part of it long-term and contributing. And so Bismack is someone we identified in the offseason for, you know, some uncontrollable reasons and just by the nature of life, we weren't able to get him. But we've always targeted him because we think he represents what we're about. And he's a guy that competes at a high level, cares about winning, and is a great teammate. So we've been pleased with what he's done, and the hope is always to be able to retain and add guys of his caliber.
And that's why I don't think Bismack Biyombo is going anywhere. That answer right there. We wanted him in the offseason, and for reasons out of control, we couldn't get him. The fact that they have him now, I don't think they're going to let him go, especially if he keeps playing like this.
Well,
I mean,
I think a lot of it's up to him. Hey, Bismack, you've been playing great. There's five other teams that like you and could use you as your backup center where you're going to get 12 to 18 minutes a game. Or you could stay here and you'll be the third string backup and you may not play at all.
Fair. You know what? You're right. I may be jumping the gun a little bit. Yeah, he might have better opportunities in terms of playing time, perhaps. But the Suns, as you've pointed out, contractually speaking, do have a couple of mechanisms in place that they haven't used that they could give to him if they wanted to.
But we've said this, right? I mean, look, a lot of times when guys get bought out, and we talked about this last year, there are deals in place. You've got to make promises. You got to promise that you're going to get a certain amount of playing time if you get that guy, if he signs with you after a guy's been bought out. If you're LaMarcus Aldridge or Blake Griffin or who was it that the Lakers got last year that everybody wanted?
It was the big man, Drummond, Andre Drummond.
Andre Drummond.
Andre Drummond.
Andre Drummond. You have to make promises. You're going to play this many because that's what the agent wants. Listen, this isn't about, it's about playing time. I need playing time promises. Bismack Biyombo can't, you know, isn't going to get any promises from the Suns. And he may not play a whole lot because of DA and because of JaVale McGee. The one thing I would worry about is that there are other teams out there that are looking at him and saying, wow, okay, hey, listen, I could use him as the backup. I mean, you'll get plenty of minutes with me on this team. And that could be the one thing that he may want, because that may lead him to a better contract next year, is the playing time over being the third. Because the third center on his team, we've seen it with Kaminsky, you may not play a whole lot.
I'll be honest with you. I really wasn't thinking about it that way, so I'm glad you brought it up, because I wasn't thinking about how it's kind of a two-way street and there's, you know, other decisions other than just the Suns to consider. Jalen Smith is another guy who has played well during this time with all the guys on the COVID list. And given how much attention he's received on the court, we asked James Jones if teams have been calling about trading for Jalen Smith.
Jalen's a good player. I mean, we've always said that. If you look at the landscape of the league, there's a big need for young, athletic, big men who can play. And so I know there's interest in him around the league, but that's not what we are. We've always said, you know, because we didn't pick up his option, that doesn't mean that we don't believe in him and that we're still not committed to him developing and helping our team. Because in instances like this, you see that as long as you're a part of this team, your expectation is to help us and our expectation is to help you. And he's been great for us, and you know that's not going to change. Like, we're committed to this team for reasons like this. When our guys are called upon to play, they produce.
It's all good and well, but I'll tell you right now, and not that this was their intention, I'm not suggesting that at all, but as far as a showcase has gone for Jalen Smith, the last week and a half couldn't have gone much better. If you're, even if it wasn't your intention to showcase him, the fact that he's played as well as he has with the minutes he's gotten has been a hell of a showcase for Jalen Smith. If the conversation does arise around the trade deadline about trading him, it's become a real good opportunity for the Suns to show him off these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I thought that was real interesting, right? They didn't pick up his option, but doesn't mean we didn't believe in him and we still don't want to. That was pretty interesting, right? Because a lot of times when you don't pick up a guy's option, you almost feel like the writing's on the wall.
Yeah. Big time. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Like it's like he's expendable. Like, we're not sure about him, so we're not going to pick up the option, and that makes you think that he can be had and he might not be back. Now, of course, they can still re-sign him at the end of the season if they want.
Yeah.
But the fact that they didn't pick up the option and the fact that he's playing well, I don't know, Gambo. They get a call about Jalen Smith and it's something that tempts them, I got to think you at least think about it, don't you? You got to think about
it. Does it help them this year?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to trade him for anything that doesn't help you right now.
That would
be
the whole goal, right? Would be for something that helps you right now? Yeah, that would be the whole goal.
It comes down to the insurance policy of, look, we've talked about this with other players on other teams. I mean, you almost, you know, okay, the Jordan Hicks, you know, I don't want to trade Jordan. I mean, it was a time when Jordan, you know, before the season got going, it's like, hey, I don't want to really trade the guy for a fifth-round pick because he's a good insurance policy. Well, he ended up being the freaking starting linebacker the whole time. You know, now I'm not saying you got Hassan Reddick on your hands with Jalen Smith. Like, okay, you didn't pick up the option on Hassan Reddick and then he burst out and had a great season. I don't think Jalen's going to ever get the opportunity to have a great season, but in limited time, he is taking advantage of it. But there is it's an insurance policy. Do you want to get rid of that insurance policy for something, you know, like if somebody said, hey, listen, I like Jalen Smith, I'll give you a future first.
No, that to me is a no. That's a no. That's not what I'm trading Jalen Smith for. I'm trying to win a championship this year. I missed out on it last year by 2 games. You give me a guy who helps me win a championship this year, who helps my depth, who helps my ability to field a more competitive roster come April, May, and June. That's all I'm trading Jalen Smith for. That's it. That's it. And like I say, as far as showcases go, it's pretty hard to top what he's done these last couple of weeks. He's played really well. If the Suns wanted to move him, I wouldn't trade him for a future asset. I want a now asset.
They didn't even want their first round draft pick this year. They got rid of it. Like, they don't want late first-round draft picks
the Suns?
On this team.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah, no, that's why I want a now asset. Yeah. I don't want a later asset. I want
It's got to be a now asset. Agree. Yep. I totally agree.
Text us your thoughts. The FanDuel text line, it's open, 620-620 here on the Burns and Gambo Show. It's always open for you during the Burns and Gambo Show if you want to let us know what's on your mind about this. When we come back, Cliff Kingsbury has gone deep on the depth chart for answers the past few weeks. How have those answers performed in his eyes? That's coming up, Burns and Gambo. Here are your did-not-practice guys for the Cardinals today. There's a bunch of them. A lot of them were just held out because they're veterans and they just were given the day off. Kelvin Beachum didn't practice today for that reason. Zach Ertz didn't practice today because of rest. Rodney Hudson, Corey Peters, rest. The guys who didn't practice today because of injuries... Zach Allen, DNP, ankle. Chase Edmonds, ribs/toe. Tight end Demetrius Harris with a shoulder. Jordan Phillips with a knee. And Marco Wilson with a shoulder. Those are the guys who did not practice today. Limited in practice. Running back James Conner with a heel injury. Dennis Gardeck with a thumb injury. Rondale Moore with an ankle. Those guys were limited. Seahawks had a bunch of guys not practicing today either. Dwayne Brown, their left tackle, Will Disley, Ethan Posich, Bobby Wagner didn't practice today. There was a bunch there.
He's
too.
Out. Wagner's out.
I read today on social media that
he wants to play.
Yeah, that Pete Carroll wasn't completely closing the door, but I don't think he's gonna go. You said it before. And this is something I'm looking forward to diving into the next couple of days when we have on guys from Seattle, Brock Heward, and that Seattle writer from The Athletic that we liked the last time the Cards played the Seahawks. What's their motivation in this game? How dialed in is Seattle going to be for a game where they can't play the spoiler? They're not going to keep the Cardinals from anything other than maybe having a home playoff game.
Pete Carroll's been there 12 years. This will be their worst record. So he's been there 12 years. This is going to be the worst record they had. I don't know what the motivation is. I mean, it's a terrible year. I'm sure these guys wanted to get this year over with. And it's not like it just fell apart in the last 2 weeks. I mean, they've been garbage from the beginning. They're not a good football team. So this is the worst winning percentage that they will have under Pete Carroll. I don't expect them to come out there and play. Look, there's nothing they can do. Like if there was a role of spoiler and you said, hey, Cardinals have to win this game to get to the playoffs. I could motivate myself to beat the Cardinals and knock them out of the playoffs, but that's not going to happen.
That's not
like,
on
so
the
that's
table.
Why I am curious as to what type of what level of play the Seahawks bring to this game on Sunday.
Yep, because a lot of times you get into a situation like this, and honestly, you're thinking about tee times, you're thinking about vacations, you're thinking about what island you're going to go to, and you're thinking about not having to play football, and I don't know where their heads are going to be when it comes to this game. Like I say, we'll dive a lot deeper into that. Cliff today spoke with the media, and the balance of getting guys back but also trying to win a game that can help you in terms of the standings in the playoffs. Cliff was asked about that today and said bluntly,
yeah, we want to win the game. I mean, that's our goal. We felt like we made a stride last week, and we want to keep that momentum going. I think that's huge, rolling into the playoffs to try and be playing some of our best football. And we'll be smart about some of those guys that are a little banged up, knowing the ultimate goal, but we're going to do everything in our power to win this game.
We'll be smart about the guys that are banged up. They're not playing. Like, if they're banged up, you're not playing. Again, there's something to play for, but at what risk? At what risk do you go all out to win a division? You're already in the playoffs. You're not going to take a chance with anybody that's banged up. And then God forbid, because the worst thing that could happen is James Conner plays and he tweaks it, and now he's not available for the playoff game.
Absolutely.
This game, it matters a little bit. It doesn't matter a lot. The playoff game matters a lot. This game matters just a little bit.
Yep. No, 100%. And that's what I'm thinking with a guy like James Conner. And I'm really focused on the running backs. I know there are other guys. There's Rondale Moore. There's Zach Allen. He's on the injury. There are other guys. It's not just the running backs. I'm really hyper-focused on the running backs because it's been a really long time since the Cardinals have had both of their running backs available kind of in their prime and healthy, and that two-headed running attack that was so successful earlier in the season. That would be a great benefit going into the playoffs to be able to have that. And that, to me, is the thing to be protected above everything else. Make sure those two guys are as healthy as they can possibly be going into the playoffs. That's got to be priority number one for the Cards.
What's the let me go back to your scenario on that you had the other day. There's all these different scenarios that the Cardinals could play. What, five teams? They could play five different teams?
Yes.
None of the scenarios has them playing the Packers.
None.
And so they could play the Rams?
Yeah, hold on. I'm just calling it up right now. The scenarios are this. The Cardinals could either play at Dallas as the 5 seed, mm-hmm. at the Rams as the 5 seed, at the Bucks as the 5 seed. They could host the 49ers as the 3 seed. They could host the Philadelphia Eagles as the 2 seed. Those are the 5 scenarios for the Cardinals.
Yeah, we've talked about which one we wanted the most. Which one do you don't want? I'm not thrilled with the way Tampa Bay's playing. They barely beat the Jets. So part of me is like, I don't think there's a big emphasis on you got to win this game. You do want to win the game because you'd love to. They want to play at home. Everybody wants to. They all want to play at home. But you're not going to do it at the expense. Because what's the worst thing that happens? You rest guys. You don't play them. You end up losing to Seattle. You got to go on the road and you got to go play one of those teams. You're not playing Green Bay. I mean, the only team you don't want to play right now is Green Bay.
Sure. Everybody else is beatable. Everybody else you can get. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, even the Bucks. I mean, I'd rather not play them. I'd rather play some of these other teams over the Bucks. But even the one scenario it has you play in Tampa Bay, they're not playing very well right now. And the Antonio Brown thing. Again, they barely beat the damn Jets. I'd prefer not to play Tom Brady, in week one. Kind of like with the Suns, right? You didn't want to play LeBron in the first round of the playoffs, but it worked out fine for you.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the Bucks, I'll tell you, day three, Antonio Brown hasn't been cut yet. Rick Stroud, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the Tampa Bay Times, tweeted out about an hour ago, no official moves with Antonio Brown today on the NFL transaction list. The saga continues. He is still a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, but I mean, I was reading that Arian stands firm that he's not on this team.
Well, I'm not suggesting for a second that he could play with Tampa Bay. He's not going to play with Tampa Bay. But there is a high level of speculation around the league now that the reason why the Bucs haven't cut him is that they're afraid he's going to go somewhere that the Bucs might ultimately see at some point in the playoffs, which I just think is crazy. I think it's crazy to think that another team would want him after everything he's put all of his other previous teams and teammates through. But if you're willing a short-term sacrifice for team chemistry to get a receiver like that on your roster for even 3 or 4 or 5 games.
Even knowledge about the Bucs offense.
Or for that too, right?
I'm going to sign you because you know that offense better than anybody else I could get.
The Bucs might be holding on to him for that sheer reason that they're afraid that he's going to go somewhere that one way or another is going to hurt him.
Something crazy like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think anybody would sign him.
I wouldn't think so either. More from Cliff today. The update he gave us on Robert Alford, he said 2 weeks, if even. Marco Wilson, day-to-day. Connor and Edmonds are day-to-day. There are guys who have to step up in the absence of the players who have been hurt, whether it's Antoine Wesley, whether it's Greg Dortch, whether it's Peterson at cornerback. He talked today about his confidence in those guys.
Yeah, I'm a believer in if you can do it in practice, you can do it in the game. And those guys you named, and Kevin Peterson is another one that really stepped up the other night. Had 7 tackles, thought he played well in coverage. But if you do it in practice, you work hard, you do things right, we trust them to go in there and make plays. And they've done it with some of the tough injuries we've had. We've needed guys to step up, and they proved in practice they could do it. And just exciting to see it transition in the field whenever they're able to make plays like that.
Yeah, Wesley in particular, we had him on a Monday.
Good kid.
And stepped up very well. No one's ever going to mistake him for DeAndre Hopkins, but he did have a DeAndre Hopkins-like play in that game on that touchdown catch. And who knows, this week, the chances are real good this week you're going to have to rely again on, well, you're going to have to rely on Wesley, but the Dortches of the world or the Kevin Petersons of the world, guys like that, because you're right, man, they're not risking their top guys
for
this game. They're not going to. And they shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't. I think they could win the game against Seattle with a lot of their key backups. I just don't think Seattle's any good. Seattle's going to be without guys. So, I mean, I think you play the healthy guys to win the football game. You play your healthy guys. But anybody banged up, I'm going to continue to say this, I don't think anybody banged up is going to play because it's not a must-win game. If you have to, and if you've got to go without Chase and James Conner in this game, well, that's a lot more carries for Eno Benjamin. Let's see what he can do.
Yep. So the last week of the NFL season, which means you have one last chance to sign up for Bix Picks. Text the word picks to 620-620. Sign up and compete against Dan Bickley for your chance. The grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and a grill courtesy of Modelo Especial and a $500 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. Text the word pick to 620-620 to enter. Of the playoff scenarios for the Arizona Cardinals, which one is most likely? Which one is most favorable? We started talking about it. We'll circle back to it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, Burns and Gambo.
All right, time for the Vizzy What's On Tonight, the games that we're going to watch this evening, and it's brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C, proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks. None of the local teams are in action tonight. Everybody's got the night off. Suns are back at it tomorrow. There are two NBA games, and Gambo referenced this earlier. The Dirk Nowitzki jersey retirement ceremony went down tonight, and that game between the Golden State Warriors and the Dallas Mavericks, that is on right now. They just tipped off a moment ago. And then later tonight, if you're into checking out some of the competition in the Western Conference, the Jazz are also on ESPN tonight. They're taking on the Nuggets. That game's
like,
going
to... Who picked that day to get Dirk's jersey retired?
The Warriors? Seriously.
Let's do it on a Wednesday night against the Warriors.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
how dumb is that?
I understand you want to put it on national TV, but come on. Don't you kind of want it to be...
a weekend game against somebody that you're going to destroy. Come on.
Exactly. Exactly. The
Golden
Warriors.
Golden State on a Wednesday night?
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a real good choice from the Dallas Mavericks on that one.
And then, you got St. John's. Louis Conteseca celebrating his 97th birthday. Playing DePaul right now.
97.
97 years old. 97. Oh, Louis Conteseca.
And is Luka hurt? Am I watching a live? Yeah, I am watching a live feed. Luka Doncic went up for a little jumper and immediately comes down. Oh, he's grabbing at that left hamstring. Oh, yeah, not too happy with that. Oh, boy.
He just came back from an ankle injury. He's only played like two games.
Listen, I'm telling you.
I know where you're going with this.
Some of that scouting report. I had a scouting report on Luka, and you know, part of it was, you know,
he's still in the game. He's still out there. They haven't taken him out, but yeah, he was grabbing at it pretty good. So we'll see how much longer he plays in this game, and if that thing keeps acting up on him or not. But yeah, man,
wasn't he like 20 pounds overweight or something a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, he talked about his conditioning and how bad it was, and how
he is not putting a lot of weight on that leg right now. He's walking very gingerly.
Is he? Okay, yeah, I'm not
a lot of weight. He's got to worry about not putting on that leg.
All these athletes with all this money, how do you get 20 pounds overweight? Like, I'd love to. I mean, you could have the best nutritionist in the world working for you, cooking all your meals. How do you get 20 pounds overweight?
Great question.
Like, no, honestly, like, how much money does Luka Doncic make? You can't have a personal chef that cooks your breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Makes you a couple snacks and your shakes and everything. How do you get 20 pounds overweight?
It's a great question.
Do you start hitting ice cream shops every day and brownies? And I don't get it.
Him some M Drive. Help him get that extra 5 to 10 pounds off.
Like, no. If you're an offensive lineman, you want to gain weight. I get it. But for a guy like you should have a personal chef that lives with you.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does.
I don't get how you get that out of shape.
It's the cheeseburger in the drive-thru line on your way back from practice that the trainer or the personal nutritionist isn't around for you to get, right? It's the, when I'm home and when I'm around you, I'm going to eat well. I'm going to eat the stuff that you're making me. But when no one's looking, I'm getting the double-double with the fries, animal style, and in
and
out.
Well, then the trainer's not doing his job. They should have a tracker on that car.
And Leon's getting larger.
Have a tracker on the car. Luca? Are you at In-N-Out Burger right now? No. Yep, you're at In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, we see you. You're there on my. Yep, I got you. You're right there. Oh, yeah. Don't go across the street to Wendy's. Yeah, now come home.
If you're doing your job right, you go to every fast food restaurant in the place and then you post a picture. Don't serve this guy. Do not serve.
Stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Yeah, don't serve this guy. You see that picture? Luca pulls up and about to hand him his cheeseburgers and, oh, wait, I'm not allowed to serve you. Photo on the wall. Do not serve.
That's funny. By the way, not at all what we were going to talk about here, but I'm going to go ahead and play this anyway. You know, Hub Arkish, that Chicago columnist.
Yeah, the guy that Aaron Rodgers called a bum.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers called him a bum. Hub Arkish is a veteran Chicago sports writer. He went on 670 The Score in Chicago, and he explained why he wasn't going to vote for Aaron Rodgers for MVP.
I don't think you can be the biggest jerk in the league and punish your team and your organization and your fan base the way he did and be the most valuable player. Has he been the most valuable on the field? Yeah, you could make that argument, but I don't think he is clearly that much more valuable than Jonathan Taylor or Cooper Kupp or maybe even Tom Brady. And so from where I sit, the rest of it is why he's not going to be my choice.
Aaron Rodgers responded.
I think he's a bum.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that.
Okay, now I got a question.
No, hold on. Before you do, mm-hmm. Hub Arkish, for his newspaper that he writes for,
yeah,
he wrote an unlocked column today, an open apology for my Aaron Rodgers comments. I made a terrible mistake. It was completely my fault. There is no one else to blame, and I am here to try and apologize. I own this, and I couldn't be more sorry. That's a quote, unquote. So...
Okay.
What it's worth, he's apologized for it and says it's all his fault.
Okay, all right. You know, move on. It's fine. He apologized. I'm good with that. Take the apology and move on. You know, Chandler Jones apologized to me for having his account hacked. I mean, it happens. I had a guy tweet me. What?
Nothing.
Just take my shot at Chandler Jones every day. Just a little one.
Every day, the show will not end until Gambo takes a shot at Chandler Jones.
It's just a little one.
Set our watch by it. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, guy sent me a message. Gambo, Rogers just called a guy he doesn't know a bum. It goes both ways. But I tweeted the guy. I said, hey, listen, I think you could call a guy a bum without knowing him. I do it all the time. Like, I think a bum is just, I think you could call a guy a bum and not, and it's a little bit different than, oh, he doesn't know Aaron Rodgers when he said whatever he said about Aaron Rodgers, right? Well, guy's a bad guy. Hey, how do you know he's a bad guy? But a bum, I think you could call a guy a bum.
Yeah, well, and Aaron Rodgers isn't saying, hey, I'm not going to vote for you as the most valuable writer in Chicago because I think you're a bum. He's just calling him
a bum.
This guy was saying, before he apologized, yeah, I'm not going to vote for Aaron Rodgers for MVP because he's a jerk, because I don't like him, because he's not a good guy. And that's, you know, that doesn't, man, do you think he's the most valuable player in the league or not? Take, you know, whatever personal feelings you've got about him, about what he did with his vaccination status earlier in the season.
And that's what Rodgers said. He doesn't like me because I didn't get vaccinated.
Take all of that stuff and set it aside. And if you're going to be blessed with the responsibility of helping to choose who the MVP is, I mean, come on, just focus on the stuff that's in front of you. Focus on the stuff that matters the most in that conversation.
People make this political, and you know, they want to, you know, have their. I'm not going to vote for the guy. Look, Aaron Rodgers said it, and he might be exactly right. That guy's not going to vote for me because I'm not vaccinated, and he might be 100% right that's why the guy didn't want to vote for him.
Which, you know, have whatever feeling you want about how Aaron Rodgers handled all that, and there are a lot of people around the league who are highly critical of how he handled that. And look, if you're going to be unvaccinated, own it. And in the moment, Aaron Rodgers didn't really own it all that well, but whatever. That's not what the MVP is about. The MVP
best record home field advantage.
Yeah, the MVP is about who do you think was the most valuable player in the NFL this year. And you can make cases for other guys, of course, but make those cases based off of what they did on the football field and not because of a vaccination status or the distinction between I'm immunized or I'm vaccinated or whatever. Just concentrate on the football stuff. And don't worry about all that.
I feel the same way about Schilling. Like, judge him based on what he did on the field. If you don't like his political stances, well, that shouldn't affect your ability to vote for him as a baseball player and what he meant to the teams that he pitched on, whether it was the Phillies or the Diamondbacks or the Red Sox. I mean, he was a great pitcher that's worthy of being in the Hall of Fame. Whether you like the guy or not, like, to me, I don't even think that's debatable.
Well, now I'm glad that's all behind us. Hub Arkish, Aaron Rodgers... unlocked columns, things like that. That's all done now, and we can all move on with our lives. That is going to do it for us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We're out of here. We're going to see you tomorrow at Straight Up 2 o'clock right here, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.